The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Creature Feature, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, a mini parasite's Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and today on the show, terrible teeth, chilling chompers, mouths straight from Satan's sketchbook. Every animal handles eating in slightly different ways, and some decide to turn mealtime into an M.C. Escher, H.R. Geiger crossover event. From adorable penguins to innocent-looking fish, these animals are hiding a mouth straight from your dentist's nightmares. Discover this and more as we answer the age-old question, which animal do you least want to see with human teeth? Joining me today is friend of the show, Garfield expert, award-winning indie filmmaker, and writer for the show Spirit Rangers, Joey Clift. Welcome!
How's it going, everybody? And thanks so much for having me back. I think I'm a teeth expert now because I actually started Invisalign a few months ago, and my teeth were just a little crooked at the start of the pandemic, and I was like, I gotta take care of that. So now I've just become hyper aware of teeth care and all things teeth. So I think you could add teeth expert to my title too.
My expertise in teeth is that I like to grind them down into nubs because of anxiety.
Wait, so, do you have a mouth guard? Wait, you like to do that?
No, I don't. Well, you know, it is something that I am prone to do. Now, I have a bruxism, so I clench my teeth and grind them. So I do have a mouth guard that I have to wear at night. And I must say, it looks very good and cool. I think way cooler than Invisalign because, like, you can see it. You can see my mouth guard and it makes, like, my mouth poke out weird. So I look awesome.
Something that I love about having Invisalign is that you have to take it out whenever you eat or drink anything that's not,
right,
like, cold water. And I feel like when I first started having Invisalign, if I was ever, like, you know, eating around friends or something like that, I would always, like, very shyly be like, I'm taking my Invisalign out. And I would, like,
don't look at me.
And shield my face. And, like, then I realized that it's really gross when you pull it out. There's, like, always, like, a line of slobber and stuff.
Yeah, and, like, a suction sound.
So, like, now I've taken power from that, and I just stare the person down, and I'm like, I'm going to take my Invisalign out now. You could watch if you want.
Right.
If not, I guess turn your head.
Right.
And then...
Right,
so I, like, put the onus on them to turn their head.
Right, like, don't want to get little bits of this shrimp cocktail stuck in my Invisalign. Excuse me one moment.
Yeah, it's also, like, I feel like I have a lot of friends who have also started Invisalign kind of during the pandemic because we're all wearing masks. And also just, like, because, you know, we're largely in our homes now, like, there's less pressure to, like, go to events where, you know, taking out your teeth to, like, or taking out your Invisalign to, you know, drink at a party or whatever,
right,
isn't necessarily a thing you have to worry about. So oftentimes when I'll pull my Invisalign out, just, like, in the open, the person I'm talking to will be like, I actually took mine out quietly in the bathroom. And I was like, you coward.
I mean,
be proud that you're grossing people out with your mouth.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's when we're in a pandemic where we have to cover our mouths all the time, we might as well do some like some work on our mouths, you know, some refurbishment. You know, I had to wait until the worst of the pandemic was over to even get my mouth guard replaced because I could not go to the dentist. It's great to have both the anxiety of a pandemic combined with like untamed bruxism for waking up with a sore jaw. But yeah, I'm doing better now. But that's just with the fun stories that can happen with our human teeth. And humans have, you know, our teeth are interesting because we're omnivores, right? So we have back molars that are good for grinding up plant matter. And our front teeth, like our canines, is decently good at tearing up meat. So our teeth are themselves fairly interesting. But once you go and explore some of the darker alleys of the animal kingdom, you'll find some mouths that are way weirder than Joey taking out his Invisalign, like when you're out with him for lunch. Do you like sea turtles?
I think I do like sea turtles. They seem fairly friendly. They've got those flippers. I think that they can be, you know, crazy old, right? Like sea turtles can be like hundreds of years old.
Yeah, I mean, they tend to live, they can live around 50 years, but you're right that there can be really old ones that live up to around like 150 years old. So, yeah.
Yeah, like I've never interacted with a sea turtle, but I would say that I am an admirer from afar.
Which is the right thing to do. You should not directly touch and hold a sea turtle because that is not good for the sea turtle. They're adorable, sweet ocean babies that we love and cherish. But if you look them in the mouth, like you should never look a gift sea turtle in the mouth because you will be met with a nightmarish horror like the Sarlacc pit in Star Wars. It's just a gaping maw of spikes. So, Joey, what do you think, like, looking down this? Now, this is a leatherback sea turtle mouth that you are staring into.
Okay, so I'm going to say this is probably the first time that I've ever seen an animal with teeth in its neck. Like, usually you just have teeth in your mouth, but no. Sea turtles have us beat. Yeah, definitely. This looks like the Sarlacc pit from Star Wars, but somehow more scary because instead of having tentacles, it just has more teeth.
Right.
Looking at this, like, I'm getting some xenomorph vibes in that, like, you know, you can picture that, like, the neck teeth, like, extending out of the mouth for, like, even more bites. It's really, I mean, it makes sense as to what they eat, as to, you know, I'm sure they probably, like, eat on the go and digest on the go. So why not chew in your neck, too, I guess. But, yeah, looking at it, that's real scary.
Yeah, so there are a few things that I want to clarify about this whole sea turtle mouth situation. Yes, it is true that you are looking down into like a spiky tube of death. But these protrusions are actually not teeth, even though they are so tooth-like. They're not made out of dentin like our teeth are made out of. These are actually called esophageal papillae. So we actually have papillae on our tongues. They're the little bumps that you have on your tongues or taste buds. Just these like little bumps. And those are called papillae. But on sea turtles, these have grown into these enormous spikes. So, and they are all down their throat, on the top of their mouths, on the bottom of their mouths. It's pretty horrifying to look at, especially leatherback turtles. So leatherback sea turtles are the largest species of sea turtle, and they have the most frightening mouths, I think. But yeah, so these quote unquote teeth are actually made out of keratin. So they're more like a bunch of throat claws than throat teeth, which I don't know. I feel like that's worse in a way.
Yeah. So basically, like, this reminds me of, I want to say lions have such coarse tongues that if you were to be licked by a lion like once or twice, it would, like, your muscles and skin would be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're exactly right. And it's a great comparison because those spines on their tongues, I believe, are also made out of keratin. And they are also extruded papillae from the tongues. And you're also right that those are designed to tear meat off of bones from their prey. So when they're licking a bone and licking their prey, they can actually rend meat from these bones. So if it licks your arm, it's just going to pull your skin off.
What is of greater interest to you, petting a lion or having skin? Because I feel like I would really like to pet a lion. And if it's like, if my trade-off for petting a lion is that they got to lick me once, and it was just like, oh, goodbye, forearm skin. would I trade that off? Would you trade that off? If you got to be friends with a lion.
I guess it depends on how much skin I have in the game here. How much skin? I gotta give this lion, because if it's all of it, no, because I need that to keep out pathogen and keep my meat, you know, keep my meat safe. If it's a little bit of skin, you know, they want to lick, give me a little kiss and it takes off, you know, kind of like Parmesan graters off a little bit of my cheek, like, you know, all right, fine. To get a kiss from a lion, I'll do it. Not really.
Yeah.
That's a joke. Don't do that. Nobody do that.
Yeah, I guess that, like, but think about it. If a lion gives you, just like a little peck on your cheek, just a little lick on your cheek, and it just like shears off just like a chunk of flesh off your cheek.
Yeah, I feel like it would probably be more like if you rubbed your cheek with some coarse grit sandpaper, right? Like, it wouldn't maybe tear a whole chunk out. It would just be like if you took the really coarse sandpaper and rubbed it on your cheek, you're gonna start to take a little bit of skin off.
Yeah, it's like, but like, if you had that scar, but like, in exchange, if anybody asked how you got that scar, and you'd be like, I got it from my lion friend.
Right, I got a kiss, like, from a lion. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good trade-off.
Yeah, that would be tough. I would have to think about that trade-off.
But yeah, so that's exactly a great comparison, because the lion does have similar keratin structures on its tongue. Of course, the turtles have it all throughout their mouth and all down their throat. And they actually use it in a much different way than something like a lion uses its tongue, or like we use our teeth. So it's not really for chewing, but it is for trapping. So one of the sea turtles' most favorite foods is jellyfish, which seems surprising. Like, it doesn't seem like jellyfish would be that good to eat, but sea turtles love them. In fact, some species, like the leatherback sea turtle, almost exclusively eat jellyfish, and their hunting method is being a vacuum cleaner. So they suck in seawater along with their jellyfish prey, but they don't want all that extra seawater. In fact, it's too much salt. Like, they already deal with a lot of salt in their diet. So they regurgitate the seawater. But when they regurgitate seawater, the problem is, well, they don't also want to regurgitate the jellyfish that they want to have in their tummies. So all these spikes that are actually facing downwards, so the spikes are facing towards the back of their throat, and when they regurgitate the water that has the jellyfish in it, the jellyfish gets stuck on the spines, and there's only one direction the jellyfish can flow, which is down towards the turtle's stomach. And on its way to the stomach, the jellyfish is getting shredded by these spines, and it's also protecting the sea turtle's throat from the jellyfish's stingers so it doesn't hurt it. And by the time the jellyfish reaches its stomach, it's been kind of mutilated.
what that makes me think of is, I feel like if I had those spines in my throat, the way that I would do that is I would just shotgun like bubble tea, like boba tea, and then puke up the tea, but keep those sweet, sweet boba bubbles trapped on my neck spines.
That'd be like the most horrifying game of Plinko I can think of. Those boba things going down the ding, 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 ding down the spikes.
Yeah, but like what an efficient way of like, you know, look, I can't drink a ton of bobas, but if I do that, I can eat a lot of the bubbles.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly how this works. I mean, and I'm not saying that sarcastically. It would be like if you want to eat the bobas, but you don't want the gross coffee or whatever. And so you toss it down and all your throat spikes catch those bobas.
Yeah, it's like if I wanted to chug a chicken noodle soup, but like I didn't really want the broth. I just wanted the chicken. It's like this would be a great way. This would be a great solve for
okay,
that.
Okay, you get out of this show. You don't want the broth. The broth's the best part. Out. Get out.
I mean, look, I'm just saying in theory, look, I also like the broth. I'm just saying in a crazy world where I just want the chicken mm-hmm. and noodles, but not the broth.
Come on my show. Tell me you don't want your chicken broth. My God.
Sorry.
So in places like Hawaii, you might actually spot a sea turtle on the beach, which appears to be vomiting blood. But if you see that, don't necessarily panic. This could just be normal turtle feeding behavior. So they will regurgitate seawater, like we talked about before, filtering out the jellyfish. But during red tides, where there are red algal blooms, seawater can look red and like it's blood. And so you'll see these sea turtles that look like they've just, you know, exorcist style vomited up this blood, but it's really just red seawater. And they're just doing that so that they can filter out the jellyfish, which, you know, pretty metal sea turtles. Gotta hand it to you.
Yeah. I mean, there is also a chance with like how polluted our ocean is that like that also might be blood.
Well, that's a good point. And the real danger to sea turtles is plastic waste because a plastic bag floating in the ocean looks a lot like a jellyfish. Exactly. Yeah. So they'll try to eat it and it'll get caught in their throats with the same mechanism that they use to catch jellyfish. And so they can't regurgitate it. So it has to go down through their digestive system where it can get caught and snagged and cause an intestinal blockage and kill them.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, when I heard that, I like all of a sudden felt really bad about using plastic bags.
Yeah.
And throwing them in the ocean like I do.
Joey, stop that.
No, kidding.
Joey
kidding,
was
kidding.
The one. He was the one with all the plastic straws just tossing them in the ocean one by one.
Yeah, I was like cutting all my plastic bags specifically so they look like they have tentacles like jellyfish.
Gotta cut these plastic bags up and then just
draw a smiley jellyfish face on them.
Wow. You're gonna get in trouble with the TikTok girls really hate it when you mistreat the sea turtles. Or is that like a trend from a few years ago? I'm really not up.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they've moved on. They've moved on to something else.
It's no longer about the plastic straws. It's about something else. Like, I don't know. They don't care about sea turtles anymore. It's probably something like
yeah, now they care about like global warming or something.
Something silly like global warming.
Yeah, something wacky like the future of the planet.
Something wacky and silly like their very lives 50 years from now.
Yeah, something silly like them seeing that like we'll all be underwater in 2050 and them being like, wait, I'll still be alive then.
And then it'll be a good thing that they like defended the sea turtles because the sea turtles will remember and be like, hey, welcome underwater. Thanks for not killing us with plastic straws. I guess you can join our cool kingdom.
Yeah.
If only it worked that way. Penguins, though. Penguins have nearly the same creepy and cool mouth situation going on as sea turtles. They also have esophageal papillae made out of keratin lining their mouths, throats, and even on their tongues. And like the sea turtles, these spines are angled downwards and inwards towards the stomach. Instead of eating jellyfish, penguins eat fish. And their spines act like a bunch of fish hooks that trap the fish and only allow the fish to move in one direction, one direction, down towards the final resting place of a penguin's hungry tummy. So penguins, adorable on the outside, horrible on the inside.
I got to say with penguins, so this first photo that we're looking at, is that the penguin's tongue that's like that we're seeing?
Yes.
That's like kind of, okay, got it. Because the way that it looks, looking at it, is it looks like the penguin has two sets of jaws. Once again,
right.
Very xenomorph-esque. but yeah, it kind of looks like a comb. It's like, I guess that I'm less scared of a penguin's mouth than I am a sea turtle's mouth, because like, I recognize the penguin's mouth as like not being Eldritch horror,
mm-hmm.
whereas like the sea turtle's mouth just looks like a hell mouth, you know?
Just a tunnel to hell.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
So, Joey, we've talked about horrifying teeth being used against jellyfish and against fish, but some fish have their own oral horror show that I want to talk about. Fish are one of the most diverse groups of animals in the world. In fact, it's kind of weird to even call fish fish. Given that they're so diverse, the situation going on with their mouths is always going to be pretty interesting. So one fish I want to talk about is the Pacific lingcod, which are ill-tempered, omnivorous oceanic fish who grow to be about 4 feet long. They have two sets of jaws. So Joey, earlier you were looking at this penguin mouth, and since its tongue has spines on it, it kind of looked like it had two mouths. Well, lingcod actually do have two sets of jaws. They have a front set that they can extrude to grab prey, and a rear pharyngeal set of teeth that are these rows of teeth on modified gill ridges for tearing and grinding. So grabbing, tearing, and grinding, it's like a really cool kitchen utensil you can use to shred a potato.
Yeah, what this looks like to me is I can definitely recognize the first set of jaws, and that you can clearly see teeth on it. It makes a ton of sense. The second set of jaws, is that what we're seeing kind of in the far back of the image around kind of the red spot?
Yeah, exactly. So
you see the front of the mouth. Terrifying.
And then you see the back, you see those rows, right? Like they're these like concentric circles going down into the throat. And they, those are actually modified gill ridges that have teeth on them. So yeah, it's not good to look at or to imagine going inside.
Yeah, what's terrifying to me about this is it looks like, it's like you can see their rib cage within their mouth. So it kind of looks like, it's basically like if we did not have a head or a neck, but like our shoulder blades opened into a mouth, and then we had like a hollow chest cavity where you could see the rib cage, and then like our pelvis, there was another set of teeth. Like it looks kind of like that, where it's like it looks like it's also like blue, which is weird. And also I think I can see like gill openings on the sides, so that looks crazy.
Yeah, because those things that look like ribs are actually gill ridges. So it's like if we just had rib-like structures going all the way down, but then they open out into the air because that you breathe through them.
I mean, that's less scary to me, because I feel like in a world where I'm a tiny fish that is, you know, swimming right through this thing's mouth, I feel like you could like escape hatch out through the gill.
I mean, that's why they have so many teeth, for first grabbing you with the front set of jaws and then grinding you down with the second set of jaws. So I feel like by the time you see a potential escape route through the gills, you've already been pulverized pretty bad, because these guys have 400 teeth, which, you know, that's more than humans have.
We have easily half that. I just want to say, any fish that gets bit by the first jaws and then doesn't try to like escape through the gills, there's a word for that, and that's a quitter.
That is, you know, counting your teeth before they've hatched. I don't know. But yeah, a quitter fish. But because of all this chomping and chewing, and they are truly vicious fish, they love to eat anything that moves, including their own species. They can be cannibals opportunistically. But because of all of this, they do lose teeth. They can be these little spine-like teeth that just break off with all this chewing and chomping. But because they lose teeth so quickly, they also replace them. So they lose and replace around 20 teeth a day, which is just an insane turnover of teeth.
Okay, so what would you, if you replaced your teeth that quickly, like if every day you like shed 20 teeth, mm-hmm. is there something that you would do with your teeth? Would you like make a necklace out of them? Yeah, that makes sense.
Crown.
But that's so many. A crown. I feel like we're hitting a point where it's like a brooch. I feel like I would make just like a shirt out of my own teeth.
Chainmail out of teeth.
Yeah, teeth chainmail.
Or teeth,
at that point,
teeth gown.
Yeah.
Imagine the sound as you rustle on by in your teeth gown.
That genuinely gave me the shiver. It's basically like your teeth grinding, but like while you're moving, and it's mm-hmm. your clothes.
It's an interesting situation to think about for long periods of time when you're in bed at night and it's dark and you look in the corner of the room and you think about someone wearing the teeth dress just slowly moving towards you. Anyways, to talk about something less horrifying, how about a frilled shark that has rows and rows of teeth like fields of corn? So, the frilled shark is an old, old species of shark. sometimes called a living fossil due to its primitive form. They live near the ocean floor in the Pacific and Atlantic outer continental shelves. So these aren't exactly, these aren't like deep, deep sea fish, but, you know, they're deeper than like coastal fish. They like to eat fish, cephalopods, and sea slugs. It's called a frilled shark because of the rows of gill slits that make them look like they've got these frilly sideburns. It's kind of cute, you know, all things considered.
Hey, frilled shark, take those sideburns back where they belong, the 70s.
Wow, got him. You have roasted this shark. Males can grow to be up to about 5.5 feet or 1.7 meters, and females can grow to be about 6.5 feet or 2 meters long. Another win for feminism in the animal kingdom. I say that every time. Yes, queen.
Yes, I stand a frilled shark queen.
Yes, you toothy queen. So,
so what I like about the frilled shark is, like, it looks like, besides the frilled shark's very large win for feminism, is it looks like the frilled shark's teeth have teeth, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it kind of looks like that. It's like they're these trident-shaped teeth. So, like, they have three prongs, like a trident. And not only that, but then there's a whole row of them. So it's, I would say, intimidating. There are these vertical rows of pointy trident-shaped teeth. There's about 300 teeth in total in this mouth of theirs.
Wait, how often do they shed their teeth?
I don't know that, but I think, like most sharks, they do shed them, and then they can sort of replace them. So these rows may kind of push upwards over time as they're getting replaced. Like most sharks do actually have teeth behind their teeth that come in to replace the front teeth. They're just not as many as, say, the frilled shark, because these go back all the way down their mouths.
I feel like, based on our previous animal, now I'm sizing up every shark's teeth to be like, what article of clothing would I turn that into? And I feel like, okay, yeah, I feel like Pacific Ingrid's teeth, like, yeah, that'd probably make for, like, a really cool, like, you know, chainmail shirt. I feel like frilled shark teeth, that's, like, that's a crown. That's, like, a really nice crown, because, like, it's, like, the tridents give it, like, a cool, like, you know, effect to it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that would be, like, and I'm not saying that I would hold down a frilled shark and yank out their teeth to make my crown. I'm saying I would hang out around one, and as it, like, its teeth naturally fall out, I would make a crown.
I like the image of you just, like, hanging out with this frilled shark with, like, a little net, just being like, come on, eat the hard candy. Eat the hard candy.
I need this. Come on. Your sideburns. Sorry about the sideburn burn. I think that they're cool.
So they can actually extend their mouths. Their mouths and jaws are very flexible, and they can eat prey larger than their bodies by extending their jaw and distending their bellies. And so not only do they have these rows of trident teeth, but they have this flexible jaw that can just chomp down like a Pac-Man. And it helps snag prey. So, like, once they've got it in their mouth, it's going to be hard for the prey to pull away from the shark because it is now sort of fish hooked in there.
Yeah, they do, like, looking at other pictures of frilled sharks, seem like an animal that is, like, all spine and no ribs, if that makes sense. And that, like, you can see that there's, like, a distinct spine, but then, like, everything else seems like, I don't want to say structureless, but, like, it kind of feels like, you know, it's like if you combine a shark and a snake a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting observation, because they are very, very primitive. They, you know, when you have these early fish, some of the earliest fish didn't even have a spinal cord. They just had a notochord, and they were more of these kind of eel-like, not quite as bony, but more cartilage-filled fish. And sharks have a lot of cartilage, even the more evolved shark, but this one is pretty primitive, pretty old. So yeah, it is. Even it does have a spine, but it is, you know, there's a lot of this kind of these cartilaginous structures. You know, they have more of that snake or eel like structure than say a ray finned bony fish.
That's amazing.
And the other thing that their teeth can accomplish is some biologists think it may act as a lure. So because their teeth are so white and they come in these rows, that contrasting white and dark pattern is thought to maybe trick fish into thinking that there's some kind of food or something interesting to look at. And so they wander closer to the mouth, and then last thing they know is like, hey, this is a mouth, and that's it. Lights out. They're done.
Yeah, that is something that I appreciate about, like, really, I think that's something that you can say about, like, our last two fish, the Pacific Ingrid and the frilled shark, in that, like, their mouths look very, like, I know that they're the mouths of living creatures, so to call them organic seems obvious, but they seem, like, organic in, like, more of a natural environmental way. Mm-hmm. Like, there's definitely a way with the Pacific Ingrid's mouth, which is very blue, could look like a cave or something like that. And like same with the frilled shark's mouth. There's a lot of blacks, a lot of reds. Like the structures of the teeth kind of seem like coral a little bit. Like where that could seem like it's, you know, it's a safe space to hide and not the least safe space to hide.
Yeah, it is interesting. It kind of looks like a plant, maybe like the spines of a cactus, not the teeth of a fish.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of teeth that look like other things or other teeth or teeth that shouldn't go in the animal that you think it should go in, sheep's head fish have, I'm sorry to say it, human-like teeth. It looks like you photoshopped a bunch of human teeth onto a fish, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
You know, speaking of Invisalign, somebody got to give this fish some Invisalign.
Joey is really on a roll roasting these fish.
Hey, I mean, look, somebody's got to.
What's that nice smell? It's Joey roasting a bunch of fish.
Yeah, look, if I can't roast them literally and eat them, I'm going to roast them with jokes.
Fair enough.
This is why I constantly have food poisoning, is the way that I try to cook my meat is I just make fun of the animal.
Verbal abuse.
But yeah, something that's wild about the sheep's head fish is that, like, yeah, their teeth are very human-like. So by extension, they're like, you know, their mouths, it looks like they have lips that are very human-like. But something that's crazy about them and very uncanny valley is they also have teeth, like, on their tongues, basically.
Yeah, teeth on the bottom of their mouths and teeth on the top of their mouths also. So teeth there.
It's like if you had multiple rows of teeth on both the top and on the top and bottom of your mouth instead of just one row on the top and one row on the bottom, which is very freaky.
It's very unsettling because it not only looks like human teeth, but way too many human teeth. I also just I don't trust fish with human teeth. That's not right. That's probably why I really didn't like that old movie, Shark Tale. You remember that?
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is that if a fish with human teeth was like, Katie, will you co-sign my loan? You'd be like, nah, there's something about you I don't trust.
Yeah. No, I mean, like anyone else I would, but a fish with teeth, no.
Yeah.
So other than their uncanny valley mouths, sheep's head fish are relatively normal looking gray and white striped fish that can grow to be a little over a foot long, about 0.5 meters. Its body is sort of disc-shaped, but it's sort of like when its mouth is closed, it's a pretty normal looking fish. They're found all along the coast of Southwest Florida, which, you know, of course, as well as the Western Atlantic. But as soon as they open their horrible little mouths, they reveal that front row of human-like teeth and then those rows of little nubby teeth. So they're not really sharp teeth. They're these sort of nubs, and they actually use these teeth for grinding. So they like to eat barnacles, fiddler crabs, clams, oysters, and other small hard-shelled prey, And so they use these like rows of teeth, sort of blunt teeth, to grind the shells up so they can eat their prey, which, you know, I don't know what's scarier, like a bunch of sharp teeth or a bunch of dull teeth that just grinds you.
Hey, rise and grind. I get it. We talked about this earlier. As somebody who grinds their teeth, I'm speaking as somebody who also grinds their teeth. Do you look at this fish and feel like a sense of empathy, or are you just like, kill it with fire?
Not empathy, because they grind their teeth on purpose to get a delicious meal. More jealousy, because it's like, if I had way more teeth, right, to grind, then I probably wouldn't wear down my pathetic set of teeth as quickly.
Yeah, like as we've established, you love grinding your teeth. It is your favorite.
My favorite thing to do. I love the sound, especially. Oh, and the jaw feel.
Oh, yes.
It's great. Apparently, the sheep's head fish taste really good, but there's not a chance. No way I'm going to eat a fish that has a human mouth. That's no.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the like, that's the mermaid conundrum, right? In mm-hmm. that, like, if you eat, like, what kind of meat is a mermaid? If you eat the top half of a mermaid, is it human meat? If you eat the bottom half, is it fish meat? Is it right. cannibalism if you eat the top half? So, yeah, I agree with you in that, like, if I saw a picture of this fish, I'd be like, oh, that's way too close.
Yeah. Yeah. It's too close to a mermaid that I wouldn't want to eat it.
Related question. Do you think the sheep's head fish flosses as much as they should?
No, Joey, they're fish. They don't. They don't do that.
Oh. Yeah, speaking of fish, they definitely don't floss.
So, hey, Joey, I heard you like teeth, so I put some teeth on your teeth so you can chew while you chew. So that's my way of introducing the crab eater seal. So crab eater seals are adorable sea puppies with psychedelic nightmare teeth. Crab eater seals live in Antarctica and are very cute, blubbery little guys with light cream colored coats. They grow up to over 2 meters, so about 6.5 feet long, and they weigh up to around 200 kilograms, or around 450 pounds. So, you know, just little big old blubbery blobs of cuteness.
So what I love about crab eater seals' teeth is that if you think back to, like, drawings of sea monsters, you know, in, you know, kind of medieval times, on maps, oftentimes those creatures would have, like, yeah, weird teeth, horns, and things like that. And, like, you know, you can look at that and think about it as just, like, abject craziness. But, like, I've seen, I think, this exact drawing of a tooth on those old medieval paintings. So it's, like, you know, it kind of makes you think, it's just, like, oh, did they just, like, see a crab ear seal and like half remember what it
right.
looked like?
That's
and
a dragon.
Try to draw it.
Yeah, like,
that's a dragon.
Like get a crab eater seal skeleton. It's like, yeah, this is a sea dragon for sure. I wouldn't blame them. So their teeth are they curve backwards. So they are sort of this triangular shaped tooth that curl backwards. But then on the teeth, they have smaller curved teeth jutting out from them, and it's kind of interesting too, because it's sort of like comb like and but it's kind of pretty almost in a weird way. The patterns these make, it kind of looks like an M.C. Escher drawing of sort of interlocking curves and then smaller interlocking curves.
Like if a Pacific lingcod teeth are chainmail teeth and a frilled shark's teeth are crown teeth, these are for sure necklace teeth right here. These are some high quality necklace teeth.
What's interesting is that you would think that then they would use these really wild, like medieval sea dragon looking teeth to chomp into things. Maybe like their name, like their crab eater seals. Maybe they use them to crack open crab shells. But actually, they don't eat crabs. Whoever named this seal should be arrested. So they like to eat krill, not crabs. And krill, you know, is one of the smallest, wimpiest creatures of the sea. So why do crab-eater seals, misnamed crab-eater seals, or maybe we should call them krill-eater seals, have such wild, dastardly-looking teeth? And like a lot of our weird-mouthed friends on this show, their teeth are actually used not for biting, but for filtration. So they use the same method that actually baleen whales use, where they suck in seawater and then push it out and filter out this teeny tiny krill, which because their teeth with all these little protrusions actually form, once they've clamped it down, forms this like sieve or sieve that the krill get trapped in, that the krill get trapped in while the seawater can escape.
Something I feel like scientists don't think about enough in terms of like evolution and why things evolve is just evolving so it looks the most metal as it can. So I feel like, yes, I'm sure there's the practical use of filtration, which totally makes sense. But also just like, this is just nature being like, hey, you want to have a mouth that looks cool?
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'd love to have these weird Fibonacci teeth, honestly. Those would be fun to grind.
Oh, yeah. At the end of this, we have to have a rating of like, would you grind it? If you had these teeth, would you grind them?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the sheep's head fish in terms of grinding is probably, you know, the one built the most for grinding. But yeah, no, so these crab eater seals, amazing looking teeth. And I think it's also interesting because while these are definitely teeth and not something like baleen, whereas like baleen is actually made out of keratin, similar to the turtle and penguin mouths we talked about earlier. But you can see this convergent evolution of like two mammals who both separately made their way from the land back to the sea. Like seals and whales are actually not that closely related. They both independently had a journey from land to sea. And then of those, there's a seal that has also evolved a filtration system for krill, as did baleen whales, just using very different mouths. So I find that pretty interesting, pretty fascinating.
It's sort of like something that's really fascinating to me is seeing the different technology that the Soviet Union and the United States used in the space race. So, like, you see, like, they built Soviet USSR spacesuits kind of, like, independently of United States spacesuits for, like, moonwalks. There's, like, there's a Soviet Union moon lander, moon rover that were, like, not used because they didn't make it to the moon. But it's, like, you can kind of see the thing of, like, oh, these are both, like, coming, these are both doing the same job, but they're clearly coming from, like, different minds and schools of thought as to, like, how to do it. But they, like, don't look dissimilar, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is that parallel of invention, though, or is it spying, spycraft?
It's probably a little bit. So I guess what I'm saying is the crab-eater seal, they've been spying on whales for
a
long time.
They've probably been spying on whales for a long time.
Yeah, it's got them. We busted them.
The last couple of animals I want to talk about are not because of the teeth that they do have, but because of the teeth that they don't have, which is all of them. So mammals without certain teeth or any teeth are known as edentate mammals. All edentate mammals lack canines and incisors, but some have no teeth at all. Anteaters and pangolins have no teeth. Instead, they ditched their teeth for a long, sticky tongue instead. So anteaters belong to the suborder Vermilingua, which actually means worm tongue. So I guess they're anteaters are big Tolkien nerds, or Tolkien was a big anteater nerd.
I buy Tolkien being an anteater nerd.
So they live in Central and South America, and there are multiple species, and they include the giant anteater, the cute and tiny silky anteater, the southern tamandua, and the northern tamandua. Pangolins, meanwhile, are an instance of convergent evolution. They look a lot like an anteater, but they live in sub-Saharan Africa. They also have no teeth. They lap up ants with their really long, sticky tongues. And their body shape is very similar to anteaters. But additionally, they have keratinous plates that armor their bodies like scale mail armor. So they can curl up into a ball when threatened by something like a lion. So
yeah, so it's like their body's covered in teeth.
So here's how crazy it is. Here's how amazingly close these are in terms of their conversion evolution. So both pangolins and anteaters have prehensile tails. Both have extra sticky saliva for lapping up ants. Both have really long tongues and tube-shaped mouths. And their tongues actually have a base way back near their sternum. Because like the hyoid bone, which is where your tongue connects, actually has a bunch of muscle on it, and it's the base of the tongue. But because they have such a long tongue, it doesn't all fit in their mouths. So their hyoid bone, for pangolins, their hyoid bone actually goes all the way down from their sternum down their abdomen, and like it's actually kind of this wishbone shape of these two prongs, and then on those is all this muscle that can quickly retract and extend this really long tongue that sits in their mouth and throat but kind of folds up a little bit, whereas anteaters also have a really long base of their tongue, but it just goes down to their sternum. And also both ingest small stones to help grind up their food. Because even though they don't have teeth, it does help when they can get that grinding in, and it helps them digest their food more efficiently. So,
So a question that I've got about this, and this is just based on the photo, is like, is the way that they eat, like, it looks like their tongue is, yeah, like kind of in their abdomen a little bit. So do they essentially just like use their tongue to like grab ants and stuff like that, and then essentially their tongue deposits the ant into their stomach?
Deposits it into their throat and then down. Got it. And then it goes down into their stomach. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like such a convenient way to eat. I mean, I feel like that's how I eat cereal.
Just kind of like lapping it up.
Yeah, I just like, I don't even chew it. I just try to cram it into my throat. I'm choking all the time.
I think I'm starting to understand why you might have needed Invisalign.
Yeah, because I just don't use my teeth. I just try to guzzle down like entire fish or whatever. I eat like Heathcliff, where I just take a fish, put the entire thing into my mouth behind my teeth, and then pull out the skeleton.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen you do that. It's very disturbing. More disturbing than like when you take out your Invisalign at lunch.
Yeah, it's very much, it's really painful, and it's not efficient, and I choke a lot, and do not recommend.
Cutting up your mouth a good amount with those fish bones.
Oh yeah, cutting up my mouth a ton. Also, like, yeah, it's definitely a very painful process for, like, I also have constant heartburn. This is not good for whatever, not good for my insides to do this, but like, hey, I'm not going to learn a different, what, am I going to use my teeth like a sucker?
Meanwhile, here I am grinding down my teeth into a fine powder because it's fun.
Yay.
Good habits all around. Well, before we go, I want to play a game. It's called the Mystery Animal Sound Game, or Guess Who's Talking, or Guess Who's Squawking, I guess. So
Guess Who's Squawking is good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. Maybe I should change my brand. So last week I played an animal sound, and the hint was, is it windshield wipers, an owl, or someone trying to find his damsel in distress? And here is the sound.
Yeah, so the question is, was that windshield wipers, an owl, or a man searching for his damsel in distress?
I didn't say a man. I said someone.
Oh, got it. So I'm going to say that was Okay, so I think it's the obvious answer is owl, but the rain makes me think windshield wipers.
Well, it's not windshield wipers and it's not an owl. And but it is someone trying to find his damsel in distress. And here's another hint. Actually, what you think sounds like rain is the popping and crackling of little shrimp clicking wow. their little claws.
Wait. So okay. Wait. So it's a person searching for their damsel in distress. Also, there are shrimp there.
I didn't say a person. I said someone searching for his damsel in distress.
Wait, someone. Wait, someone or something.
I mean, someone, something, some kind of animal. It's you know, we're all the brotherhood of life here on this planet.
I'm so confused. Oh it, no,
Joey, it's an animal of some kind making this sound.
Oh, okay. Is it a baleen shark?
I mean, that's actually, I shouldn't laugh at you. I was laughing at your tone because you were so scared. But no, that's not it's not a bad guess. In fact, you are right that it is a fish. And it is actually a damselfish mating call.
Oh, I see what you did.
Yeah. So it's incredible because we don't think of fish being able to make sounds underwater. But in fact, they do. We just can't really hear it due to our human ears not being good underwater. Instead of using vocal cords, fish can make noise by wiggling their swim bladders or rubbing their fin bones against their bodies like crickets. And
I wish I had a swim bladder.
The winner of last week's Mystery Animal Sound Game is Ariel, who asked me if it was cheating if they found the same article that the sound was from. And no, it's not cheating. Go ahead and use Google. I use Google all the time, so not cheating. Great job. So now on to this week's Mystery Animal Sound. This is the hint. It may be related to an elephant, but you're in for a surprise when you see who's saying hello.
That sounds to me like, okay, so I heard like kind of a clip clop. So part of me wants to say that it's a horse, but like, I think that might be like a seal or something.
Maybe a crab eater seal with its weird teeth.
Yeah. That could have been the clip clopping
Well, the answer to this week's Mystery Animal Sound Game will be revealed next week. And so if you think you know who is making this mystery sound, who is squawking, who is talking, you can write to me at creaturefeaturepod@gmail.com. I'm also on Instagram at creaturefeaturepod and on Twitter at creaturefeetpod. That's F-E-A-T, not F-E-E-T. That is something very different. Joey, thank you so much for guesting on the show. What are you up to and what can people find? Where the heck are you? Where can people find you?
Thanks so much for having me. You can follow me on Twitter at Joey Tainment. You can follow me on Instagram at Joey Clift. And if you're listening to this and you're also straightening your teeth during the pandemic, tweet at me and tell me how it's going. Tell me what tray you're on. I guess it's a weird thing where, like, because it's something I'm constantly dealing with, I love talking about it. So I guess I'm a teeth straightening influencer now. Sure, why not? Things I'm working on. Katie mentioned I'm a writer/consulting producer for Spirit Rangers on Netflix that comes out sometime in 2022. I have a short film that's going through festivals right now called My First Native American Boyfriend that you can probably watch, you know, in a festival near you at any point in the future. And I just released an animated short through Comedy Central called How to Cope with Your Team Changing Its Native American Mascot. It's about just like all the weird kind of things that people are going through now that like native mascots are changing for good reason. So you can check that out on all of Comedy Central's socials. And other than that, just follow me on social media and you'll find out about all the crazy stuff I'm up to.
Yes, please do check those things out. Highly recommend. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. And if you're liking this show and you leave a rating and review, I really appreciate it. And I read all of them. I promise you, I do read them. And I really appreciate all your feedback. And thank you so much to the Space Cossacks for their super awesome song, Exolumina. Creature Feature is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or hey, guess what? Wherever you listen to your favorite shows, I do not judge you at all. See you next Wednesday.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.